This is First Taken. We are just getting started. The legend himself, the Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner, joins us in just a bit, talking about his new movie, of course. And we're going to make him pick Brady or Rodgers, or does he have another quarterback in mind? Who was the real greatest show on turf? You'll see what we mean. Don't miss that debate. And is the accident waiting to happen as soon as next weekend? Stephen A's thoughts on Dallas versus Washington. Mina joining us for that, too. But first, Monday Night Football, despite attempting only three passes, the Patriots defeating the Bills 14-10, the wind gusting in Buffalo at over 40 miles per hour. Mac Jones, 2 of 3 for 19 yards, and the Pats ran for 222 yards on 46 carries. The three pass attempts were the fewest by any team since the 70s. Mina joining us now. Good morning, Mina.
Hi.
Hey, hey.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Mina, I'm going to start with you here. Are the Bills more likely to make the Super Bowl or miss the playoffs?
So this is a little bit challenging, obviously, coming off of such a demoralizing victory. But looking at the question, make the playoffs versus the Super Bowl, basically you're asking, will the Bills miss the playoffs? And I don't think so. Just looking at the rest of their schedule, they've got Carolina, the Falcons, and the Jets. Two difficult games against the Bucs and the Patriots. I think they've got a better shot against the Pats in normal record. But even if they lose those games, Molly, I think given all of the uncertainty in the rest of the AFC and the other team schedules, the Bills have a good shot of making it in. That's reflected in 538's playoff prediction index, which gives them a 73% shot of making it. Look, the Patriots are a nightmare matchup for Buffalo. The way they are built, frankly, from a personnel perspective, the Patriots have an advantage. It's why they won last night. And frankly, the Buffalo Bills should consider building a dome given the way their team is built. But the playoffs are all about matchups, and all they have to do is get the right matchups to make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they got to get into the playoffs first, though, Mina. And I understand what 538 says and the analytics say, but my eyes tell me they're going to lose to the Tampa Bay Bucs. They may take care of the Carolina Panthers, but then they got to go to New England. And that guy up in New England is in the brain cells of the Buffalo Bills. He's really has gotten them. They thought for a minute that they were going to own the AFC East. He decided a year ago to let them rent it. Now he wants his space back and took them to the woodshed last night. Now you talk about Atlanta, the New York Jets down the line. There's no question about it. But the other teams in the AFC, the Chargers aren't going to go anywhere. They're not going anywhere at all.
Right.
And then you look at Baltimore, Cincinnati, you got those teams that are all right there. So it's going to be challenging for them, I think, if they drop those two games to the Bucs and one to New England, it's really going to get tight on them.
I agree with Mina. I think that the Buffalo Bills have a better shot at going to the Super Bowl than they have of missing the playoffs because I'm scouring the rest of the NFC, and I'm thinking about, okay, Baltimore, Cincy, Pittsburgh, are they going to, you know, listen, somebody's got to win that division. We get all of that. But who's going to be a wild card coming out of that division? Yeah. I look at the AFC West. Okay, we've got Kansas City in the mix. We sealed that Chargers went into Cincinnati. Lucked up personally because they were up 24-0, and then Cincy scored 22 straight. You go for a two-point conversion. You get called for an offsides, and then you miss the extra point. So you miss out on not just 2 points, but then the 1 point, okay? And then after that, Mixon fumbled. And then, of course, the game was out of hand pretty much thereafter. But you look at the AFC West, whether it's Denver, it's the Chargers, are both of them going to get in? I think Buffalo's got a shot to get in ahead of one of them. And so when I look at it from that perspective, once you're in the postseason, all right, your kryptonite is the New England Patriots, no doubt. But against everybody else, we saw what Buffalo did to Kansas City. We don't question what Buffalo could do against Baltimore, a team they beat in the playoffs last year. Okay, in the AFC South, unless Derrick Henry's coming back, they can't beat Tennessee. Even though they lost to Tennessee earlier this year in the thriller, I think they could beat Tennessee. So when you look at it from that perspective, the bottom line is, again, I'm not saying that the Buffalo Bills are going to go to the Super Bowl, but do they have a better shot of making the Super Bowl rather than missing the playoffs? I think they got a better shot at making
you
the
still,
Super Bowl.
You forgot about Indy, and you mentioned Tennessee.
I did.
But Indy is right there. So Indy's me personally, I don't think they're going to win the division.
Right.
I don't think they're going to win the division. Yeah.
So those other teams that would take that, what is it, 5, 6, 7 spot, There's probably, what do you think, Mina, eight teams, nine teams looking for that five, six, seven spot?
But they've got challenging schedules as well, Key. Like, when I was thinking about this question, I looked through each of the wild card team's schedules. A lot of them have to play the Chiefs. Some of them have to play the Patriots. It's all about the path to getting there. What I'm saying is, I think even if Buffalo drops those two games to Tampa Bay and the reunion with New England, I still think that they can get in. Now, once they get in, it's a whole different question. And like Stephen A. said, it really just comes down to matchups. I think in addition to the Patriots, the Colts, as we saw, are also a nightmare matchup for Buffalo. But if Buffalo gets any of those other teams, as you laid out, I think they can get to the AFC Championship game. It really just all depends on who you end up playing, because these teams are all built so differently.
Keith, let me ask you another hot topic. It's been the weather. Does bad weather football determine the better team?
No, but to me, it determines the better staff and the game plan. When you look at when you're undermanned, I've been in one of these situations. The difference is I was inside a dome. Mm-hmm. We played Atlanta when I was with the Carolina Panthers. We threw the ball seven times. Chris Winkie was 4 of 7 for 32 yards and a touchdown. We ran 55 times. And we were in a dome, but we had Chris Winkie at quarterback. So when you look at the situation and you say to yourself, it's such bad weather, there's only certain things you can do. Bill Belichick went for two because he couldn't kick the PAT because he knew we would miss. Then you look at the Buffalo Bills. They didn't get in. They attempted a field goal. It went wide right. All that is game planning, understanding the weather, understanding all sorts of things. I don't understand it. Why Buffalo decided to try and throw the football as much as they did?
30 times.
They couldn't run it. I mean, look, did you see? Did you watch Singletary and Moss try to run the ball, Breda?
But Mina, you continue with the run. There's only one big pop for the New England Patriots. It was one big pop, 60-something yards, but they continue to establish the run and get to short and medium.
I mean, my dispute here is what I would argue is the Patriots won because of the way they're built. This is a team that is built to play in those conditions. They are built to run the football. They have an incredible run, regardless of the conditions. We have seen all season, this is a very good, very well coached, but very dominant from a personnel perspective running game. That offensive line and that fullback, they move bodies. We saw that all night long with their, you know, jumbo personnel. The Bills simply aren't built that way. And I think you can criticize them for that, for not having a changeup in terms of the way they're built, especially given where they're located. But from a coaching perspective, if they had continued handing it off, they would have continued getting stuff. My quibble with McDermott, I agree with you about the kick there. I think Josh Allen needed more carries in the red zone. That's the thing that puzzles me. I don't know how you finish this game with Josh Allen only getting 6 carries. He is your most dynamic weapon on the ground, and they should have run him more.
Yeah, well, there you go. Run him more. However you do it, you need to run the football instead of dropping back 30 times, dinking and dunking, because you were not going to be able to take shots down the field. And that's why New England played the majority of man-to-man coverage, because they obviously knew that they're not going to push the ball down the field. All we got to do is come up, tackle, and rally. And that's what they did, and they got out of there with a W.
Well, for me personally, I think the one thing that we all got to take into consideration, we're thinking about inclement weather and the way it can stymie and restrict an offense. We're not thinking about the teams capable of taking advantage of it and making sure that they look just as, if not more effective, in that inclement weather because of the opposition that can't handle it. In Buffalo's case, because you got a situation where they're one-dimensional and ultimately you got an offensive coordinator that doesn't make the greatest decisions, they're a bit handicapped to some degree. But in the case of Kansas City, in the case of New England, in the case potentially of a Cincinnati who seems to disappoint you every time you expect anything from them, but we know that they have the talent. You look at that. You look at Baltimore. You look at Tennessee, not Indy because they're in the dome, but you look at some of these teams, they are capable of making some noise in inclement weather, and that could make things very interesting.
You always want to have something portable. There's no question about it. You want to be able to travel with the running game, and I do think New England can travel with the running game. I just believe when you make adjustments and you go into a game with multiple game plans, you know the weather's going to be messed up. The offensive line, they die for that.
Yeah.
We should have had Jeff Saturday on. They die for that, to run the football.
Yeah, I know they died and it didn't work. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I know Jeff Saturday can't wait for Sunday because they travel to Indy, and that's going to be a great matchup. Patriots-Colts.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Don't look now, but the Washington football team is just two games behind the Cowboys for the lead in the NFC East. At one point in the season, a lot of us thought Dallas would run away with the division, but now we have a tight race with Jerry's team and Washington still having two games to play each other. Cut to Sunday, where the Cowboys head to FedEx Field to try to end Taylor Heineke and the team without a name's four-game winning streak. Does Stephen Nay think Washington has a chance?
Y'all ain't going nowhere. You know y'all ain't going to win a playoff game, right? You know, listen, do you understand that the Washington football team, the team without a name, the team with Mr. Muffler as a quarterback, with Mr. Heineke.
Funny dude, man.
You got two games against the Washington football team. Right. Do you realize
who's
that they're in a position?
Four straight, do you two realize, games behind
do you realize they're in a position to take first place from y'all?
I'm shocked. Stephen A. has the Dallas Cowboys on upset alert. Mina, do you agree with Stephen A.?
I do not agree. I think Dallas should win this game. I think Dallas will win this game. Y'all can save this clip if I end up looking stupid, but I don't think I will, simply because they're the better football team, Stephen A. I mean, first of all, offensively, yes, we're coming off of a game where a little bit disappointing. I think Dak is still coming back from that calf injury. You see him hesitating sometimes to take open rush lanes, but they are healthy. And this Washington defense, while they are much improved after an abysmal start to the season, since the Bucs game, they've mostly played pretty soft offenses, which is why they're still 31st in DVOA, which actually reflects the strength of the teams they're playing. And yes, that includes my Seahawks, who were absolutely putrid. Defensively, Taylor Heineke's found a way to win. He's a fun quarterback, but I watch him week after week. He should be intercepted. He should have been pick sixth last week, and they should have lost as a result. This Cowboys defense is opportunistic, and I suspect they'll find a way to take advantage of Taylor Heineke's riskiness. Now, I'll just ask you guys this. Point me to one area on the football field in which Washington has an advantage over Dallas. I simply don't think you can, because Dallas is the better team.
Well, first of all, a couple of things, Mina. And put Mina on the screen, please. I want to look at Mina when I'm saying what I'm about to say. First of all, you ain't got to smile when you say you disagree with me. I mean, my goodness, I mean, just smiling, laughing at me in advance. I get where you're coming from, Mina. I didn't do that to you when you already been wrong about Seattle. I didn't do that to you, okay? And, oh, by the way, I certainly don't think you're foolish. None of us are flawless. We're all flawed in our own way. None of us are perfect, okay? We're more right than wrong, but sometimes that's how it goes. Here's the deal with the Dallas Cowboys. Mina, were they better than the Denver Broncos?
No.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. I mean, we've seen this team. We've seen this team. They were injured, yeah, but even injured, they were considerably better. And they certainly didn't deserve to be down 30-0 at one point in that game. But somehow, some way, that's what happened. And all I'm trying to say to you is this. When we're talking about the Cowboys here, the mistake that I believe you are making, respectfully, is that you continue to look at this team and you dissect it in a very analytical fashion. As Keyshawn highlighted earlier, you just know your analytics backwards and forwards. And I get all of that. There's nothing wrong with that. All I'm trying to say to you is this. These are the Dallas Cowboys, and they do tend to defy logic from time to time in a very bad, bad way. And this reeks to me of one of those situations where, okay, it's week 13 we're approaching. You are 8-4 on the season. You are in the NFC least,
and you still are worried about holding on to the division because a 500 team is creeping up behind you. Taylor Heinicke has completed about 68% of his passes. The brothers, I mean, he's no scrub now. He's been relatively impressive.
He's not a scrub. He just should have been intercepted multiple times.
I mean, listen,
Keyshawn, you saw that Raiders game. That was a pick six.
I can say, this is the same Keyshawn, Derek Carr. Anytime you say Keyshawn, just say Derek Carr. Just say Derek Carr, and that'll humble him, okay? The point that I'm trying to make to you is that these kind of things, I'm not saying Washington is better than Dallas. I know Dallas is the superior team, the better team, but they're allergic to prosperity. And as the moment shines on them, they will crumble. They're not winning both games against Washington this year. They're going to lose one of these games, and I believe it's going to be at FedEx Field. That's just my belief.
Well, look, here we go. Dak Prescott is 12-1 in his last 13 games against the NFC least, like you say. That says something. That says that he walks into the building with his chest stuck out. Not only that, whether Ezekiel Elliott is healthy or not, they got a dude named Tony Pollard. If he gets the touches that he deserves to get, you can push Zeke on out the way and allow him to carry the running game. On top of that, we already know about all the skill positions and the weapons. Then on the defensive side of the ball, DeMarcus Lawrence is coming back. Now he gets an opportunity to start to play again and get the reps underneath his belt. Diggs, on the other hand, he's coming back to form because they don't have – I mean, I like McLaurin. I like the receiver, but they don't have a plethora of wide receivers that you have to worry about. So now you can play your real defense the way you want to. You can get after the quarterback the way that they're built to do. And look, man, at the end of the day, they know what's at stake, Stephen A. Yes, every now and then there is a hole in the boat, but they got to figure out how to keep it from leaking.
And Keith, to your note about the pass rush, Randy Gregory, who was fantastic earlier in the season, is also going to be playing in this game, I believe.
Oh,
so between him, Lawrence, and Parsons, Heinicke is going to be up against it. And like I said, we know those Dallas DBs love to intercept the football. But my point, Stephen A., this isn't about analytics. This isn't about numbers. I asked a simple question. Point me to one area where Washington is the better team. And not about the curse, not about the juju.
I cannot.
They don't have it.
I cannot.
Nowhere.
I cannot. I've never denied that. Never once. All I tried to say to you is that somehow Dallas finds ways to lose those games.
No, I don't think they're going to find a way to lose this one.
Okay.
They found ways to lose games that they fell asleep on. Okay. I don't think they're going to fall asleep based on the two-game lead that they have against Washington, and they got to play them head-to-head. I don't think they're going to fall asleep on that.
Okay.
Quarterback's too good.
Okay. Okay.
All right. We'll save these clips.
We'll see.
One of these clips is going to age real badly.
We'll see. We'll see. It's fluid. It's fluid.
It is fluid. No, it's not.
Exactly. We'll leave it there, guys.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hollywood needed to tell it again because it was that incredible. We now welcome in two-time NFL MVP, Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champ, NFL Network analyst, and a phenomenal person, Kurt Warner. Kurt, thank you so much for being with us here on First Take this morning.
You got it. Good to be on with all of you. Good to see you, Molly. Key, what's up, Stephen A?
Yes. What's going on, man? What's going on, big time? Good to see you.
So excited about American Underdog. We'll get into that. It's coming out on Christmas Day. But first, let's talk a little football, shall we? Okay, maybe we'll do some quarterbacks. You know a thing or two about that. And guess where I'm starting, Kurt? Teflon Tom. The man keeps thriving, 44 years young, still lighting it up. Brady threw for 4 touchdowns, 368 yards Sunday as he went to 10-0 all-time versus the Falcons. And it's numbers like those that have the GOAT on top of the MVP odds, according to our friends at Caesars. Brady is the 6th player in NFL history to have at least 6 games with 4 or more passing scores in a season. The other 5 all won MVP. Kurt, if you were going to win a Super Bowl this season, which quarterback would you want at the helm?
this season or last season or the last 20 seasons. I'm only taking one guy. I'm taking the best quarterback to ever play the game. We can make any debate we want about Aaron Rodgers and how great he is and how talented he is, but I'm taking the guy that in the biggest moment always plays his best football, and that's Tom Brady. And so to still be doing it at this age, this well, I remember when I was playing, I always felt like I got better every year because I understood the game more. That's exactly what it looks like with Tom Brady, is that he's not losing anything physically, and he just gets better and better with his feel for the game. So this to me is a no-brainer. As great as Aaron Rodgers and plenty other quarterbacks are, you take the guy that finds a way in the biggest moment to make that play, to have that big game gene. I will take Tom Brady all day, every day, twice on Sunday.
Kurt Warner, as you scour the National Football League, not just the NFC Conference, but the National Football League, and you see Aaron Rodgers, you see a guy like Kyler Murray, right? You see what Belichick is doing in New England. You see, you know, Patrick Mahomes, and ultimately they're on a winning streak now, they're coming. Who do you think is the biggest threat to dethroning and knocking off the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady?
It's a great question, and I'm going to lean to my home team right now, is that I know we look at Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, and there's still a part of me that says, okay, he's still got to prove it to me, right? You know, a team that hasn't won a playoff game, a young quarterback, of course, you know, I still have to see it come playoff time. They got to prove it to me that they can do it. But the more I watch this team, the more I see a team that can win a lot of different ways. I'm a true believer that when you get to the playoffs, you have to be able to win away from your strength. Is that the good teams in the league are going to say, okay, this is what you do really, really well. We're going to take that away. Can you win another way? And when I look at this Cardinals team, every week they seem to win a different way. You got Kyler that's playing at an MVP level, that can throw the ball as a special thrower of the football, can run it as we see here. But last week he threw 15 times, and I know it was against the Bears, but my point being, they can win running the football when they need to. They can win with defense when they need to. They can rush the passer. They can play on the back end. This, to me, is just the most complete team in the National Football League. The Patriots would probably be right behind them with what you see them do, offensive line, defensive line, what they're doing defensively, the way they run the football. But, again, just not ready to quite go there because of their young quarterback to say that they're going to be in that category to knock off the champs.
Before we move on from this, Stephen A., who would you rather have?
Me personally, it would be Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I'm just at a point right now. I think that you listen. I look at Tom Brady. Here's where I'm at with this, Kurt. I look at Tom Brady. He's a 7-time Super Bowl champion. Not to question his motivation in any way, because he's a winner. Plain and simple. That's what makes him the greatest. He's a winner. But there is something to be said about accomplishing those lofty goals and getting to a point where, you know what, if I never do anything else, my legacy, my stature, my cachet, my status within this game is cemented. I never have to worry about a thing. When I'm thinking about a guy like Aaron Rodgers and how he came into the season with all the acrimony that was existing in Green Bay, and I think about the way in which he has played, and then I think about the personnel surrounding him, he's got a running game to go with a passing game now, and a defense that has improved as well. And he's starving for a championship. He only has one. Not only that, only one Super Bowl appearance. I think that this particular situation is arguably the best situation he has been in his entire career, not just to win a Super Bowl, but to dictate the future that he wants to dictate for himself. And that's what I'm going with in this particular situation. Any issue with that at all?
Molly, what was the question?
Which quarterback would you rather have?
It's not even a conversation to have. Tom damn Brady, man. I like Aaron Rodgers, too. I like Kurt Warner. Tom Brady. I like Peyton Manning. Tom Brady, period. I mean, he left the New England Patriots. We thought he was going to Miami to retire, going to Tampa Bay, yeah, just to retire. He went there to win a Super Bowl. He got it done. Yeah. He got it done. And he came back in the offseason and said, you know what? I'm going to have a better year than I had the year before. And guess what? Despite receivers in and out of lineup, he's having a better year. It's not even close. I mean, I get it. I like Aaron Rodgers. He's got phenomenal talent. He's got arm strength, his mind, his body. Oh, I get it. But I'm taking a dude that's 44 damn years old. It's not even close, Stephen A. It's not close.
Kurt Warner, go ahead, man.
No, I mean, I have no argument with what you're saying, but to sit here and say that, well, because Aaron's had all this stuff go, you know, go the way that it's gone over the last year or so, and even this season, that he's got a bigger chip on his shoulder than Tom Brady, I think we got to be careful with that one. One thing we know about Tom Brady is that he's always got a reason to win. It's the reason that he plays this game. And I don't think it's ever going to come to a point where he's coming back for a year and going, oh, well, my legacy's good. I'll just play another year. He's playing to win championships. He's playing to write more of a legacy, to win back-to-back championships, to do things that people have never done before. So, you know, I understand what you're saying about Aaron Rodgers, and I believe he's motivated to get another championship, to get back to the Super Bowl, because he's only been to one, as great as he's been. That's going to be a part of his legacy. That's all there, but I don't think we can ever discount what edge Tom Brady has and why he's playing this game, and I don't think it's ever going to be you know, this year, if I don't win it, it's okay. That's not how Tom Brady plays.
Yeah, my bold prediction, Brady versus Belichick this year's Super Bowl. But, Kurt, this is about you, Kurt, the American underdog. So in 1999, let me transition here. You were part of a Rams team that earned the nickname Greatest Show on Turf with your high-powered, record-setting offense and culminated at the end of the season with a thrilling win over the Tennessee Titans in Super Bowl 34. We now want to welcome in Jeff Saturday, who also played on some talented teams in his day, and he has something to say, Kurt. Good to see you again, Jeff.
Jeff, what's going on, my man? What's up?
What's the word? Kurt, great to see you. I just want to get it on record. You know, like, we hear the greatest show on turf. I just want everybody to know how you really feel about the greater than greatest show on turf. We're just a little bit further, you know, further east than you, but, you know, we donned that horseshoe. I'm just looking for some confirmation. You know, I mean, I love the movie. I love the heart. I love the story. Obviously, I just want a little love from you back to that side in the horseshoe land.
You guys were great. You know, we ushered in what you guys did, though. That's what we did. I mean, it was you know, we had to show the league what it was all about, what was possible for you guys to even believe that you could be that. But I mean, obviously you guys had talent, but I'll take our talent, I'll stack our talent up against anybody that's ever played the game, any team that's ever been assembled. When you put our collection of talent together, with all the Hall of Famers that are there, but even the great players that aren't in the Hall of Fame, we had some really, really special talent there, and I know you guys did as well. Not sure you had quite as much as we did, and to be able to do it 3 years like we did at a time when the league never had seen anything like it, you guys were great. But I'm still going with us.
Key's shaking his head.
Yeah, I'm with Kurt on that one.
What? Yes.
They have just the receiver spot alone. They were four deep. Just to receive. And then if you want to add Marshall in there, in and out of the backfield. And I know y'all had Edrin. I get it. But, yeah, they, I ain't going to lie to you. Now, they
let me ask y'all this.
Go ahead.
Is it better to be good for 3 years?
No, but we're not talking about that.
Or 12 years? So if you were to say the greatest, like, does it longevity have to play into the greatest?
I mean, you're trying to flip it.
You know, y'all flipped on me. I mean, I thought we had some loyalty in this room. Obviously, we got none. No loyalty up in here. Hollywood star, the whole deal. Like, he's going to have to stay strong.
That's
but y'all
right.
just turned on me that fast.
First of all, a couple of very important nuggets to throw out there. He's the better part of the NFL Network in the morning with him and Michael Irvin. I mean, I love Mooch.
I love Mooch and my brother Ray Isaac.
But that damn playmaker, Michael Irvin, contaminating this studio the way that he is. Thank God Kurt Warner's there. That's number one. Number two, I get where you're coming from because Peyton Manning was a deal. I will remind you that you are talking to a Hall of Famer who is a Super Bowl champion.
Absolutely.
Who, by the way, was complete 65% of his passes that year. Who had Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce. Marshall Faulk was a thousand.
You didn't even mention Isaac Hakeem.
I got that. But then Marshall Faulk, 1,300 yard rusher, 1,000 yard receiver coming out of the backfield. Okay. Excuse me. Greatest show on turf. I got to give them the edge.
Steven, I don't even think we played most of the fourth quarters at that time either, because that was during the era when you actually took your players out and you played everybody when you started to win football games. Unlike now, where they keep guys in when you're up 30 points at the end and you're still throwing touchdown passes. So completely different time and place as well.
You there's, know, some, they, there's some truth to pulling some players. Now, they did pull some. Listen, Kurt knows what my college roommate, Nate Hopgood-Chittick, God rest his soul, he's no longer with us, was on that Super Bowl team. So I was pulling for him hard. They were legit. I give them credit. I'm not saying they're better.
Legit?
I'm not saying they're better than the Colts.
That's your compliment. I'm saying,
They were the great. I mean, I got to go with it.
I thought when you're the original, you're better than a copy.
Yeah.
I thought that you respect the original.
The greatest show on turf, they were before y'all. You always have to improve.
Guys, did you watch Monday Night Football? Peyton Manning took a lot of shots at Jeff. He's a little fired up
right
now.
You know what? I should go with Kurt on this one. Actually, because of Manning.
You always take a shot.
It wasn't that people
unbelievable.
Didn't fear
we need to get you on that Manning cast.
Oh, I know.
All right. We're having fun with Kurt Warner.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
And right now, we welcome back NFL Network analyst and the focus of the new movie, American Underdog, Kurt Warner, set to hit theaters on Christmas Day. And Kurt, I'm so excited to talk about this. And obviously, your story inspires me. You've overcome insurmountable odds. But I'm just curious, what role did your faith play in this journey of your life?
Oh, my faith was huge, and it's twofold. My faith in higher power and God and his role in my life and really my purpose. You know, that's kind of how I look at faith more than anything else, is that a lot of people look at it like, I got this faith that God made me throw, you know, better passes, or he made my spiral a little bit tighter, or helped me win a Super Bowl, where really it's more about being able to step into my purpose and understand what God wanted to use me for. And, in football, obviously, I always felt was that backdrop, that this was the platform that I was going to be able to use to impact other people. So faith was vital, in that regard. And obviously the faith in myself and the faith that other people had in me and the way that they pushed me are all elements that are in my life that are the kind of the crux of who I am. And in this journey that people are going to see on the big screen.
Kurt, a lot of people have a story to tell, some more compelling than others. Obviously, yours is incredibly compelling. But I want to know, did you really want to tell this story? When did you make the decision that you wanted this story to be told? And why is it that you wanted this story to be told?
I tell you what, Stephen A., I don't think I ever made that decision. I think the decision is made by other people. Mm-hmm. You know, when other people start to tell you, this is a story that needs to be told, or this is a story that inspired me. The number of people over the years that had heard my story and said, you know, it was your story that kept me going when I was in my grocery store moment, when I found myself in a place where I didn't want to be, I didn't know where I was going, I didn't know how to get out of there and chase my dream. It was your story that kept me going. And so when you hear things like that and people start telling you, hey, this is a story that can inspire people and it can encourage people, and especially the timing right now coming out of this pandemic and all the people that find themselves in an underdog role now that probably never saw themselves in this role up until a couple years ago, or never thought that they would be in this particular role. So the timing is great. And, you know, the thing that you guys will see when you see the movie is that it's my underdog story, but it's not just my story. My wife has an incredibly compelling story. My son, who was injured when he was young, has a compelling story. And it's kind of the story of how all of us together and the support and the faith of people around you and how we learn and grow from other people to become the people, or maybe in this case, the player that I would ultimately become. And that's to me what's so exciting about this movie, is that it's the football story and it's the compelling part, because football is such a huge part of our culture. But to me, it's a real life story, and that's mm-hmm. what connects with people. And Stephen A., back to your point, that's why we felt this movie could be made and would be made, is because so many people can connect with the real life part of my journey and my wife's journey and our journey together.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful journey. And the timing is certainly divine. And obviously, most of us can't relate to the football aspect, but can relate to being in that grocery store. And like you said, in terms of where we are right now in coming out of this pandemic and so many people are at home suffering, Kurt, what's the one message you would want to say to those people or what you would say to that young Kurt Warner who is down and out?
Yeah, you know, something that we say in our household all the time, and we try to preach to our seven kids who find themselves in a different place than we were a lot of times in our life, but that never let your circumstances define you. I think too often in life, we allow those circumstances to dictate what we think about ourselves or other people, you know, to share what they think about us simply because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And, you know, that was me in that grocery store where I'm like, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I get out of here. And so many people wanted to define me by that. I mean, we've heard the story a million times on why nobody thought I could play in the NFL. Why? Well, because you worked in a grocery store. Well, that must mean you can't play football. And I think a lot of people find themselves in those situations where the circumstances say one thing, but we got to truly believe who we are. We got to understand what our purpose is and what our gifts are. And we've got to walk in that instead of in those circumstances. So I think that would be simply defined as saying, don't ever let your circumstances or other people use your circumstances to define who you are.
Think greater than your circumstances.
That's a profound message that anybody can embrace and receive, especially not just people on the come up, but people who have already arrived, like, say, for example, some NFL players. But I asked this last question to you because obviously you do an outstanding job working on the NFL Network and calling games the way that you do in a lot of the different areas. I ask you this about the NFL. As it stands today, looking at the league, what advice would you give contemporaries, players in the NFL, coaches, et cetera, as we move forward, not just from the times in terms of a pandemic, but the microscopic times we live in where everybody's under a microscope? Obviously, you're representing the number one brand in all of sports, that is the National Football League. Looking at the NFL and seeing what you've seen today, the good, the bad, the ugly, what advice would you give to guys playing today about what it takes to move forward in representing not themselves, but the brand of the NFL as well?
Well, Stephen, I think what I would say, and I think where our country and society is right now, is what we've always loved about sports is that it brings people together and it celebrates the differences that we have, whether it's the differences of the positions that we play and the skill sets that go with it, whether it's the backgrounds that we come from, whether it's the faith that we have, all of that stuff. And I believe, you know, we look at the league, and the league to me is a great representative of our country, and it's a great tool for us to use to galvanize our country. And to me, I would just simply say, continue to embrace the differences that we have, to celebrate the differences that we have. And that's what I love so much about our game, is that we have the ability on Sunday afternoons to all put aside all those differences and enjoy the product on the field and enjoy those players. Let's continue to use our platform to make sure that our country and society as a whole continues to embrace and celebrate those differences as well.
Yeah, and learn from each other's differences. Well, Kurt, thank you so much to you and your family for sharing your story with us. And thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Great seeing you.
You got it. Always good to be on with you guys.
Yeah, all right. All the best. Be sure to check out American Underdog in theaters Christmas Day.
See the upgrade? See the difference with him having him on the show and having Michael Irvin? I mean, it's just...
We had a beautiful touching moment, and then you had to be Stephen A. again. It was a very, very beautiful moment.
Kurt Warner is fabulous. Michael Irvin, and he's fabulous, too, except for when he just reminds us that he really represents.
I love you.
I'm just saying.
I won't tolerate this slander.
I'm just saying.
We keep it rolling.
No. Get on a nice suit this week.
Oh, my goodness. Would you stop?
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Bad news for my Huskies. Breaking news. Paige Becker's out 6 to 8 weeks with a fracture in her left knee. I'm wishing her a speedy recovery. Moving on to the NFL, guys. Terrell Owens honored in Buffalo last night as the Bills legend of the game. Owens spent one season with the Bills in 2009. He had 829 yards, 5 TDs. Also, happy birthday, T.O., who turns 48 today. Stephen A., did T.O. deserve to be honored by the Bills?
No. No. I mean, this is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen an NFL team do. And just for the record, this is no knock against T.O. I consider T.O. one of the top 3-4 receivers in the history of the game, worthy of Hall of Fame. It should have been a first-time inductee. Never should have had to wait to get into the Hall of Fame. This is not casting any aspersions on him. But prior to being in Buffalo, he spent 8 years in San Francisco. He spent 3 years in Dallas. He spent 2 years in Philadelphia. So if you're the Dallas Cowboys, where you never won a playoff game, they wouldn't need to retire your number, all right, and honor you as a legend of the game. Philadelphia, he helped, even though he was injured for the playoffs, he had such a stellar season and balled out in the Super Bowl. Okay, but still, in terms of Philadelphia lore, that's not necessary because he was only there for 2 years. If you're going to be honored by anybody, it makes sense to be honored by San Francisco because you were there for 8 years, even though you didn't win any Super Bowls there, because that was when Jerry Rice and Joe Montana was there before you. In Buffalo, he spent 1 year. That 1 year, he had like 55 receptions for 800 and change, 829 receiving yards. They were 6-10. What the hell are you, for what? If anything, all you did last night, Buffalo, was remind us how inept you were back then.
I think he was a fan favorite, though, when he was in Buffalo, so it might be to hype the crowd up or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
So that's what, I'm so just, Hall of Fame is the cheerleader then? That's what we're doing?
Hey, man, all I can do is say that's
not,
what they did.
I'm not knocking T.O.
I get it, yeah.
T.O. didn't do anything wrong. He's a Hall of Fame man worthy of it. But Buffalo, what the hell, whose idea was that?
Happy birthday, Terrell. Hope you have wonderful day. I'll see everybody tomorrow. Goodbye.
What am I missing? What am I missing?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.